This episode of the Golf Podcast is brought to you by the Golf Ball Locator app, which you can download on the iPhone or Android. Now, Frank, we talked about these guys last week, and we're loving the concept here. It's an app that finds white golf balls by using image recognition. I mean, I've spent over $200 on golf balls alone last year, Frank.
Yeah, so it pays for itself. I mean, for $3.99, it's like having an extra pair of eyes out there. I mean, we all know our buddies aren't always the most reliable system for watching the ball, whatever it may be. But this way, it really helps. As you're looking, you can kind of have the app out. And like you said, Mike, it's very similar to facial recognition. It doesn't need any special golf ball or other equipment. It'll find any white golf ball. Get this, Mike. One user, after trying the app, said, the first time I tested the app, when I was having a hard time finding my ball that flew into a huge bush. I looked by myself but couldn't find it. Like, we've all had that, right? And he said, so I decided to try the app out. I found my ball at the bottom of the bush in an area that I've already searched and walked past a few minutes earlier. So the app already paid for itself, and it keeps me saving time and money on every round. That's the other key thing too, Mike, is time. You know, how much time we waste just looking for golf balls. So it's really cool. You know, if you haven't had a chance to try them yet, definitely give them a try. You can download a copy in the App Store today.
Welcome to the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. This is episode number 114. We're going to be talking putting tonight. More specifically, we're going to teach you how to roll your putts. So you can get that better consistency, that better accuracy, and a better overall feel on the green. This is something I've been working on. Mike, I was just the other night after I put the baby to bed, now that I'm lucky enough to be living so close to the golf course, you know, my backyard, essentially, I just went out there with the putter. I had about an hour before the sun went down. All the rest of the golf course, I had the golf course to myself. Everybody had gone home, and I just kind of set up that ring, you know, around, you know, probably 10 golf balls just in a ring around the hole, maybe 5 feet out, and just kept going around in circles. And just my goal was to try to like make all 10 of them. Didn't get there, but you know, that way I get to that different feel. I get different, you know, some are uphill, some are, you know, side breaking because you're working all the way around. Very similar to that cross of doom that we talked about before.
Uh-huh, some
of
these other kinds.
But hey, my goal, like I kind of worked on and talked about before, was just to get deadly from that 5 feet and in, because those are some of the most frustrating, demoralizing misses in the game when you get that close and then you two putt from there. So I've been having fun working on that. You know, what's new with you?
Not much, not much. And I love the photo that you sent me when you were out there, because you were putting in some serious work out there.
Yeah.
You know, good for you. But the great thing about it, and I've been practicing a lot lately. You know, I've been getting out there. I've been sticking to that steady practice schedule, trying to get over to the range one or two times, you know, a week after work, and just kind of continuing on getting the grip down, because I'm like four rounds in with the new grip now. But, you know, I'm just trying to stay consistent. You know, it feels good. It builds the confidence. You know, when I leave the range, I feel good about myself. So sticking to it.
That's really cool, because I'm just looking at our notes here. That goes back to episode 106. So that's probably what, seven, eight weeks ago that we started talking about that, creating a solid practice routine, and we were rededicating yourself. So, hey, right there, I mean, 2 months committed to it. That's great. You know, as long as you're sticking with it. And for anybody who didn't get a chance to listen to that episode, definitely go back, go to golficity.com/episode106. Check that out, because now it's early in the season. It's the, you know, at least for us here in the Northeast, but it's time to, you know, rededicate yourself, get that routine, get it ironed out. And that's what I've been trying to do, Mike. I mean, I talk about on the show all the time how busy I am, you know, with work and with the baby and everything like that. And you got to just kind of find the time, you know, that's what I'm finding. I mean, I've had an hour. I literally told my wife, I said, listen, you know, keep an ear out for the baby. I'm going to run, you know, down there and putt a little bit, you know, whatever you can do, you know, as long as you can get that practice time in, it's going to pay off on the course.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love it. I'm sticking with it, and I'm going to take it throughout the season for sure.
And a lot of cool stuff, talking about the kickoff of the season, a lot of cool stuff going on around the website. One of our featured writers, Chris McEwen, was talking about some different products that he had, some accessories, like accessorizing and gearing up for 2016. And there's some peripheral stuff in there that's definitely worth a read. I'll link to it in the show notes because it's not just golf stuff. He was talking about some of the different earbuds he was using. So like you, Mike, he likes to listen to music on the range, but just some simple stuff, you know, for cleaning your golf club and, you know, stuff that sometimes we overlook. You know, we talk about compressing the ball. We talk about putting some spin on the ball, but it's not going to do anything with a dirty club. So just, you see the pros, you have their caddies doing it after every shot, kind of cleaning them up. So a lot of inexpensive, just kind of cool accessories that he was talking about. So I definitely encourage checking that out.
Yeah. And what's on your wish list this season? You got anything big you want to add to the bag or no?
I am looking for a 5-wood. That's the one thing that I still haven't updated yet. You know, I last season I updated to that grenade driver. I've been loving that. You know, two seasons ago I talked about how I got fitted for the Ping irons, and at the time I didn't have a 3-wood, just kind of reworking my set, and I worked a Ping 3-wood in there. But I'm still playing from my high school days. I'm still playing my old TaylorMade bubble shaft.
Yeah,
and you know what? The hardest part about like getting rid of it is that I hit it well. And
that's
like,
your baby. Yeah.
Yeah. When you hit something well, you don't want to let it go, but I'll be honest with you, that club has seen better days. It's hurting. So that's one thing that I want to do. But other than that, just kind of fooling around with different golf balls and just trying to lock in, find one I like. I was in love with the 3-Up, and then unfortunately that company went away. But I'm looking for something and I want to stick with it. We're going to talk about in an upcoming episode, we're going to talk about golf ball compression, like really understanding that. And when you start to get into this a little bit more specifics, you start to realize how important it is to have the right golf ball to match your game and then stick with it. Because once you get a feel, you don't want to be jumping around just playing whatever you pull out of your bag. I mean, an interesting article just today, I don't know if you saw it, Mike, Sam Adams posted on the on Golficity about asking the question, is the Pro V1 really the best ball for your, you know, in general and for your game? You know, that was a cool read. So stuff like that, a lot of information coming out. I'm always kind of testing. You know, I think that's an important thing. I think golf is getting more scientific. We see like this new young up and coming kid. What's his name?
The Bryson.
Yeah, Bryson.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's like a notorious tester, you know, changing the length of his golf clubs, marking the center of gravity on his ball. And very interesting. So I think that's fun. I mean, I don't think it's something you want to obsess too much over because it takes away from the game in a bit. But why not? Why not tool around a little bit? That can be fun too, you know? And that's what it's all about, having fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to tell you this, Frank, because we've talked about switching to a soft ball.
Yeah.
I switched to a softer ball, and I think 3 rounds ago, and all 3 rounds were terrible.
Really?
They were awful. I mean, I played so poorly, and I'm thinking it's the ball. I've always used a much harder ball. I think I just got to go back to it.
Well, if you don't have that confidence, it's going to tank. And if you feel like something's off, I mean, that right there is an indicator you don't have confidence, you know?
Yeah, it was an interesting test.
And it is. And look, you've got a fast, you know, swing speed, no doubt. And don't forget, part of that compression is going to be matched to that. So you can definitely, I mean, it's not like getting fitted for clubs, but you can get a little bit of feedback even from, you know, stop in the pro shop sometimes. Those guys know what they're talking about, and ask them, be like, listen, this is round about my swing speed, and this is what I'm looking to do with a golf ball. Like, what do you recommend? If he immediately tries to sell you a $65 dozen of Pro V1s, you know, then you know that there might be something wrong there. But usually you tell them, I'm a mid handicap guy. This is my swing speed, and they should put you into the right thing, you know?
Yeah, even Sam said it in that article you referenced, that you should go get fitted for your ball.
Yeah.
Nobody does it. And I'm going to do that. I think that's pretty interesting.
And you know what? And there's a certain degree that you can do it yourself. It's not going to like cost you much or anything like that. Like I said, just ask in the pro shop. Mm. And what does it hurt to even narrow it down? Tell the local pro, look, this is round about my swing speed. This is my handicap. This is the style of game I play. Point me out a couple options, right? Buy one sleeve of each, you know, buy 4 sleeves. You got a dozen balls, and then just play each one and find whichever one gives you the most confidence, whichever one gives you the most performance, go back and buy a dozen of that.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
It's a lot smaller monetary commitment than buying clubs, you know?
Right, right.
And it can make, surprisingly, it can make as big of a difference as a new club, you know, just hitting the right ball. So, and that's why I'm looking forward to this soon, you know, in the next couple of weeks. We've got a lot of guests coming on the show over the next couple of weeks. It's going to be a lot of interesting conversations. But, you know, a little bit later into the summer, we're going to be talking a little bit more about equipment specifically. We're going to talk about how to select the right flex shaft for your clubs. We're going to talk about, you know, the actual golf ball and compression. So those will be fun. I like doing a little bit of everything, you know, Mike, getting some different perspectives from guests, but also talking instruction and equipment. It makes the game more well-rounded.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So before we talk about ways and learning how to roll the ball on the green, because I know this is a hot topic, this is a question that comes up a lot. You know, we're having a little bit of a discussion about it in the Golf Podcast Facebook group. So I want to talk about that. But Mike, let's do a quick word from our sponsor and then let's jump right into it.
Hey, podcast fans. This episode is brought to you by No Halftime. This is the fantasy sports app that's changing the way we play daily fantasy games, Frank. We can't get enough of it. I mean, we're playing it. We're having fun. We've been playing it for almost 3 months now, and it's a really cool and unique concept. It's player versus player fantasy sports. I mean, if you like playing the roster stuff, that's great too. I love playing that, but this is really unique. It's fun. It's easy. Frank, you win a lot on it. I mean, you're getting some luck. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I'm still letting my initial deposit ride, and it just keeps growing. And I talk about it a lot, about how much fun I've been doing with playing PGA on here. But what we don't always mention is how many other sports there are. I mean, you could literally play every day. They've got the NFL, MLB, NHL, NFL. It's all on here. And like you said, it's so easy to use. You just flip through the cards, accept the challenge or deny the challenge, and then you're off and running. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so check them out. It's No Halftime. It's currently available in the App Store for iOS. It's really heating up, you know, with NHL. The playoffs are here. You know, a lot of big matchups out there. It's nohalftime.com. Check them out for more info. They're going to give you $10 when you sign up. Use the bonus code GOLF to get that $10. So once again, No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break.
All right, Mike, here's a really obvious statement. Making putts is not an option when it comes to shooting good scores. It's a requirement. Mm-hmm. You know, think about it. We talk about, like, all right, just so much talk about getting to the green, getting my green in regulation, getting close, sticking pins. But then putting, unfortunately, it's so much of an afterthought in a lot of ways with a lot of amateurs, where they're just like, a lot of it's just nerves. You're just out there and just be like, oh, just please don't screw this hole up, right? You're just thinking like, I got here on my green in regulation. Now if I can only two putt or something like that. And we don't really think of a much of an attack mentality. Like, our attack mentality seems to go from tee to green and then just stop dead there. And now it's just kind of, you know, knee knockers and just trying to get in there and save our score. But look, the pros know it. And some of your better golfers know how important putting is and how important is proper technique and things like that. And they spend the time, they put the work in. Mike, we play a lot of fantasy golf, and we talk about it a lot on Golficity on the website, and we do fantasy predictions and things like that. And what's one key stat that you almost always see us keying in on, right? You know, you're looking at that strokes gained putting. That's where it's won or lost. I mean, even these guys are all great. They can all hit greens. They can all stick pins. Where's the money won and lost? It's putting, you know?
Right.
So what I wanted to talk about tonight, I want to dive into a little bit deeper, is this idea of rolling your putts rather than hitting them. You know, what's that one thing so much we say when we get a little bit like nervous out there, we feel like we're rushing it? We say we're punching the ball, or we're slapping at the ball or something like that. And we don't feel like we're putting that nice roll on it. Whereas when we watch the pros, sometimes you ever see like those cut shots before they roll to commercial, and you see like the Golf Channel will show that ball just slowly rolling, and you just kind of see where the guy made the mark on it, and that's just coming perfectly end over end each time, you know, no wobble to it, no skipping. The ball's not skipping across. It's just rolling true. And that's what's going to come down to, is if you can get to that point, you're going to see that you're going to be filled with so much more confidence in your putting ability. It's really going to give you that boost to the game. And I find that once you develop that confidence in your putting, it just trickles all the way back to the tee, because now you're saying, I can get a little bit more aggressive with my shots into the green. I don't have to have so much pressure to get close or whatever it may be. I can play those, like we talked about in the last episode, being a little bit more conservative, you know, not going for the short side, because you say in my mind, I can rely on my putting. So, you know, if you're tired of that, if you're tired of fearing even those easiest putts, you really need to work on your ability to roll the ball. Once you start to feel that proper technique of rolling the ball, you're going to start to see everything else kind of fall into place. You know, elements like reading the green, handling pressure, they're all very important, but a lot of your success really comes down to simply how well you can roll the ball and execute that stroke. And Mike, when we go to the Barclays, we see the guys just do it like 20 balls in a row. They'll have their caddy, so they don't even have to stop their flow. They'll have their caddy put a ball down, they'll putt it, put a ball down, they'll putt it. And they just keep doing it because they're just getting that in their mind, just roll, 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 roll. And it's something simple. You can practice it if you have a carpet in your house, you know, just putting that stroke on it. So this is an interesting one, and I'm really I'm geared up to talk about it tonight.
If I come by your office one day this week with a bucket of golf balls, will you put them on the rug for me and let me hit them? Just like my caddy?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
You know, if I had someone like that, I would be putting all day. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm trying to train my dog to do it, but it usually works in reverse.
Right.
Where I'm chasing her because the ball's gone. I don't think that's going to happen. But that's, like I said, there's a lot of different ways to do it. But let's start with just the concept. You know, one of the major mistakes that the average amateur golfer makes is hitting at the ball when you're putting. You know, you really remember, you shouldn't be trying to hit your putts. You should be moving the putter head smoothly through impact. That's the key word here, Mike, smoothly through impact. So the ball rolls off the face beautifully. Now, don't forget something interesting with putters that a lot of us don't think of. We just look at them and we call it like the flat iron, right? Mm-hmm. But all putters have a little bit of loft to them. It's usually around 4 degrees. And the reason for that is, and we'll talk about in a second, how it kind of, the way a proper movement through the ball is just going to kind of lift up a little bit on it and start that ball rolling nicely. It's not like with the hitting with your iron where you're hitting down on it, it's climbing up the club face. It's just kind of naturally letting it in a way just kind of rise. You're just letting that putter rise and it's just kind of hitting it and putting that roll on it. And a good putt, no matter what the distance, should start rolling right away. Because when you see, especially for those longer putts, that's when we really see guys hitting it or punching at it. And you'll see that ball, maybe the first couple feet, just kind of either fly a little bit through the air, maybe like a couple millimeters off the ground, or just skip, and then roll.
Right.
You're losing a lot of control and consistency there. All right. And I know, sure, if you got a 70-foot putt, it may be something that's required. But other than that, the sooner you get that ball rolling and rolling true, the sooner it's going to start to act a little bit more consistently for you. So the first step in this, and the first and probably the most important part of this whole thing, is just to, if you want to soften up your impact, and that's what we're really doing here, we're softening that impact, you want to lighten your grip pressure at address. Just kind of remind yourself to lighten that grip pressure. Now, we know that the whole thing with, you know, every shot in this game, we talk about using only as much grip pressure as you need to hold the club. And I think a great tip that we talked about a couple of weeks back was to determine that grip pressure. A good thing to do is feel the amount of pressure that you would need to hit a chip shot, just very light. Because you know what it's like if you death grip a chip shot. It almost always end up, you know, smacking it, sculling it, going underneath it, something like that. You need that light grip. And then just applying just a little bit more pressure, whatever it may be, in order to hold on to that club. But a very similar thing comes in with the putter. And this is where we see a lot of guys death gripping. And it's not because they're taking in a crazy fast swing at it. It's because usually it's because of nerves and because your mind is trying to take over and overly steer or control that ball. So it goes a little bit against your nature, but that's why it's something you can work into your putting pre-shot routine. Just take a deep breath. Relax that grip a little bit. When you have that light grip on the putter, you'll actually have a better feel for the club head and you're not going to be compelled to smack at that ball so aggressively. And often for righties like you and I, Mike, it's going to be our right hand that's going to be to blame for that aggressive putting stroke. So, you know, it won't be able to get in the way of it if you just kind of relax that grip pressure. Mm-hmm. So, Mike, what is your thinking there? What's your grip like? How much thought do you even put into it when you're out there?
I always think, like, this is one of the things I don't struggle with. Grip pressure is fine on putts, you know, the whole, you know, act like you're holding a baby bird in your hand type feel.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very loose on the putter. I have no problem with that. But I wanted to ask you, what kind of putter grip do you actually have? Are you a claw guy? Are you like a backwards guy or just straight up?
Straight up.
Do you lock the pinky on a putter? No. Should I be locking? No, right?
No, don't lock on it. Okay. You know, unless, again, putting of all the grips is going to be the most feel thing of anything. It's whatever develops that confidence.
Right, true.
Who is it? Is it Spieth who overlaps? Like, interlocks. Like, I think he overlaps a couple, so his hands are almost, you know, together, clasped over the putter. So it's going to really depend. But me personally, Mike, I don't get into any of those different variations, the claw, the backhand, anything like that. But I do think they have their merits. I mean, something like the claw grip right there, taking your right hand and just holding it just with like those fingertips, what that's going to do is that's going to force you to have that really light. You can't death grip with a claw. You'd be pinching the club, you know, it'd be weird. So mm-hmm. I think in that way, those are good things. Or the backhanded. I think what that does is it kind of takes a little bit more of the emphasis off that stronger right hand for righties, which is usually the culprit, and makes it a little bit less punching at it. And that all those things do is they just kind of help guys to make that connection where they realize your hands are just holding the club. They're not there to punch at it. Cause I think a lot of the punch comes in from when you just kind of whip your hands in there a little bit. And this right. is just like making sure that you're doing that pendulum where you're just stroking and using your shoulder movement back and forth in order to move that ball. So, you know, and that's cool. You don't have a problem with that with the grip pressure. I have a traditional grip and I do have a problem with the grip pressure. I find that if I don't mentally bring my attention to it, especially on a pressure putt, I'm kind of squeezing it a little bit too tight. And that's where I feel like I lose that feeling, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
You know, that could be a big reason too, why I've been having more success with the softer feel balls is because that, you know, it's just kind of a way for like forcing me to feel it a little bit more. I mean, I think my putting improved the most when I first started playing the three up. It was the first time I was playing a real feel ball and I was just kind of, it felt soft at impact rather than it feel like a really, you know, like a pinnacle or something like that, where you feel like almost like a cheaper, harder, you know, cover ball just pops off the club face, you know, and I felt like I lost my feel. This kind of helped me doing it. But when you want to get out there and you want to do it, relax that grip, make it, you know, one of those things like we talk about, your swing thought should only be one thing. This could be your putting swing thought for a while. Just think, relax your grip. You know, after you pick your line, after you pick your speed and what it's going to be, when you're ready to execute, just think, relaxed grip and just do it. And a good way to practice this is to start small, because if you're only making, you know, let's say you practice a couple 3 to 5 foot putts, you have a very much better chance of keeping that relaxed grip than those long putts. When we see those long putts, that's when guys start to really punch at it. So that's a good way to get that feel, you know, just put a bunch of balls down. Don't handle any fancy breaking putts or anything like that. Try to look for a nice flat straight putt. That way you can focus just on your roll, you know, take that dead aim and then just kind of put them in and just focus on one thing. If you make it, great. If you don't, you don't. Focus just on making that soft contact and getting that ball rolling as early as possible. That's the key. Early as possible. You don't want to see that ball skip, 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 then roll. We want to start seeing it rolling. And you know, it'll be easier with these putts to hit these putts with soft hands than when you're dealing with a long putt, you know, at least for now, but you will get there. So just keep working on those short ones as much as you can. Once you feel like you're doing a good job of that soft hands, then it's time to kind of bring the other fundamental in the mix. And what you want to do there is just kind of work on allowing your putter head to naturally rise slightly through impact. Now, I don't want to be too confusing. You hear guys in that argument of hitting up on it. You hear people say that, like hitting up on your putt versus not. And that gets into an argument back and forth of, do you hit up on it? Do you not? I think it's just more wording than it is anything. I'm just trying to say that you want to have that nice, free, clean pendulum movement where you're just allowing that club head to ascend slightly. So not hitting down and forcing down into the ground, just kind of, as that pendulum moves, as you're making contact, is just the moment where the club is naturally starting to rise up. And what that'll do is it'll hit a little bit higher on the ball and just start that roll going. Now, that's something that does take more work. It takes more practice, but same thing. Once you get that soft hands, just start working that in and giving that a feel and see how it goes. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And one thing I wanted to share, and this is what's helped me with my grip and helped me to become a better putter from, you know, shorter distances, is practicing it indoors, Frank, on a carpet, on a rug, it takes the, when you take the pressure out of it, there's no hole. I just like to hit the ball around the room. Mm-hmm. And that exercise alone is what has gotten me to really loosen up on my grip. It's that's how I kind of started to, you know, advance my short putting distance, you know, attempts, things like that, just by doing it on the carpet. It's worked because when I go to the practice screen, Frank, I got eyes on me. I feel people are looking at me. It's just completely different.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you know what? And that's a great thing to do is to start that way. And then start to slowly introduce the pressure a little bit.
Right.
And we've talked about how you could simulate the pressure, just like what I was talking about, the, you know, these little games you can play on the putting surface where you can start to set up a bunch of shots and then just tell yourself, mm-hmm. well, I can't quit until I make three in a row. You start to, but you know, you hit two and now you, that third putt has a little bit of simulated pressure. So I agree. Don't try to introduce something new under pressure. Do it somewhere where you can just, like we said, just not even focusing on necessarily making the putt, just focusing on the stroke. And then when right. you start to get it, introduce a little bit of pressure. And one thing, too, that I could say is a good way of thinking about this, you want to, and again, that idea of hitting up on the ball, so to speak, versus just naturally letting it rise. For a righty, the proper feeling would be that your left shoulder is kind of lifting up a little bit during the actual impact. So we talk about the pendulum, or right shoulder up, then left shoulder. Well, mm-hmm. at the moment of impact, it might be just when your left shoulder is starting to pick up a little bit. So after you've done that for a period of time, you're working on that soft hands, you're working on that quote unquote upward hit from close range. It's time to go ahead and move further away from the hole in the practice green. And just like Mike was saying, maybe just do start with no pressure, just putting back and forth across the green. Forget targets for a moment and just get the roll. Just get it rolling as soon as possible. Just saying, I want to cover the distance of the green, but I just want to get it rolling and just work on that. And then slowly start to work some targets in. You know, remember, staying focused on that technique at all times. And you should notice that your speed control is going to start to really improve because mm-hmm. when you're rolling it, you're introducing consistency. When you're slapping at it or punching at it, that kind of goes out the window. And that's where we see guys miss by great distances because they're either way long or way short, especially trying to read those long putts. So that's where you're going to start to see that. And that lends itself to the whole discussion that speed is one of the most important things when it comes to putting. If you can just get your speed down, you're going to see your scores drop tremendously because think about it like this. Even in a long putt, if you've got your speed just right, you're almost guaranteeing that your second putt is going to be, you know, just a tap in or something short. And that's what you see with the pros. No matter how long that putt is, they're very rarely leaving an 8-foot knee knocker for their second, you know, putt. And that's where you could really start to see those improvements. So if you're reading the green prior to hitting a putt, focus your efforts on understanding how hard you need to hit the ball in order to leave it right next to the hole. You know, focus that on one of the most important parts of your read, even somewhat more so than the left to right break. Focus on that speed. And if you can get that speed right, like I said, you're going to see a dramatic improvement, right?
Yeah. I mean, how many times around do you think you say, you know, that hill looks a lot steeper than it really is, you know, that's my biggest problem. I cannot get speed down to save my life right now. Maybe it's just I'm fresh into the season, couple rounds in, but I'm leaving them like 6 feet short or I'm blowing them by. The greens are really not that great here. So,
yeah,
you know, but
that's exactly what I was going to say. Cause that's one of the biggest problems is that it's hard to gain this consistency without playing often and playing on consistent greens. I mean, the amount of maintenance that goes in when you see the pros play into those greens and how much they make them make sure they're rolling true versus a lot of what we have. And I'm not trying to make excuses for us because that's never a good thing. But where we have a situation like in the Northeast here where, you know, we have a couple months off, we can't play and it's winter and then it comes back. And then, Mike, what happens? They aerate the greens, you know, and then it's like you just feel like you just get a feel for them. But then all of a sudden they're either much slower or much faster. But there's a certain natural element to that, too. If it just rained, it's going to be slower. I find that when I'm more intimidated by the greens, I tend to give them more credit, like thinking they're a lot faster. And one big thing I'm often guilty of, and just was doing it when I was practicing yesterday, but that just so happened to be a situation where they aerated about 2 weeks ago. So some of those little pop marks are still left, but it's not completely recovered. It's not also terrible. It's not Plinko. Right. But it was just enough that I was leaving my uphill putts dramatically short. Because thinking like it's fast and just getting in my mind. So really what that comes down to is practice, getting feel for all different types of greens. Look, at the end of the day, the pros that we all want to putt like, they probably hit, I don't know, 10,000 putts a year, you know?
Yeah, seriously.
If you think about it, between the practice time and time playing. So it's going to take a lot of time, but trust me, if you can more rely on your putting stroke, the rest will come. You know, being able to understand and read the greens based on what they look like, based on what time of the season it is, time of the day it is, what the weather is, that'll come. But as long as one thing maintains consistent, and that's your putting stroke, you're gonna be playing much better.
Yeah, totally agree. Absolutely.
So remember, good putting, it's not a matter of just aiming at the hole and hoping for the best. You know, by learning how to roll that ball smoothly towards the cup, you're going to be able to hold your target lines better. That's one of the big keys. Mm-hmm. And you'll start to see your share of putts fall to the bottom. You know, there's no mystery to putting, regardless of what anyone's going to tell you out there. Invest time on the practice green, refine your techniques, the results will show up. It just will happen. So start to take those excuses out of it, you know, whatever it may be, and just say, how much time am I really focusing on practicing this? Get out there, do it. And if it is the winter, by all means, you know, on a carpet, something like that, or go on Amazon. How cheap are they? You see all the time those putting, little putting mats, and some of them have the ball return. You know,
right.
You don't need me, Mike. I don't need to put the ball in. You just have the ball return. Put that in your office. And you know, right there, that's something that you could definitely keep going and then come out in the spring with a great putting stroke.
I mean, yeah, definitely.
Why not, right?
Right. Yeah, they are cheap enough. I got to get me one of those.
Yeah, there you go. Set it up, and then I'm sure your business partner over there is going to love that. He's on the phone, and you're hearing that ball flying back and forth.
Yeah, I know. That's all right.
Because you know what? You'll beat him when that cup comes around.
Exactly. Well, he's on my team for that cup.
Then he'll like it even more.
So I'll get two. I'll give him one. He'll put it in his office.
And cover the phones. I'm going to be putting.
Exactly.
All right. So that's everything we have. Mike, you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a huge thank you to Tony and the crew over at the Golf Ball Locator app for sponsoring the show and showing us some love. So please show them the love back and download and test out this app. Like we said, it's really interesting. It's intriguing. It's great. It's fantastic, actually, that that your phone can find your golf ball and it can really speed up your round and save you a lot of money, because we know those golf balls are expensive. So once again, check them out. Android, iPhone, works on both. That's the Golf Ball Locator app.
Yeah, Mike, you're not kidding about expensive. I just ordered on Amazon last night. I ordered a dozen of the Callaway Chrome Soft, which is what I've been switching over to. I think it's like $34 a dozen. So, yeah. You find one ball and you're back in the money. So that's awesome.
Yep.
All right. So, like always, you know, check out golfcity.com. Everything we talked about tonight, we're gonna have the show notes up there. Lots of, you know, great articles coming out as far as instruction and things like that. If you like what you hear, take a second to leave a quick review for us on iTunes. Only takes a second, and we love to get that feedback. We love hearing from you guys. We love hearing from our audience, and that's really how we shape the show. That's how we know what to talk about. That's how we know what is working for you guys and what's not working. So make sure you include that. We want to hear from you, and we're going to be back again next week. Like I said, a lot of great interviews coming up, a lot of interesting discussions we're going to be having, and even more instruction and equipment. So stick around. Hit that subscribe button on iTunes. You'll be the first to see it when it comes out every Sunday morning, and we'll talk to you again next week.